What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of California Underground. I'm here with Camille again tonight, and we're going to be talking about windfall taxes. We were talking about a lot of gasoline and a lot of what the heck is a windfall tax, and is it as simple as just saying we're going to tax the gas companies for as much profit as they're making on per gasoline or per gallon of gasoline? We were sort of kicking this idea around because I got in a pseudo debate with a bunch of lawyers. And first off, before we get started, Camille, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Trying to stay as warm as possible for us weak Southern Californians who are like, oh my God, it's below 60 degrees. We're all going to die.
Give us 6 months and we'll complain about the heat.
Yep, absolutely. We'll all be sweltering, looking for air conditioning. So anyway, I got into this debate in a lawyer chat room with a bunch of attorneys who thought that the windfall tax was a good idea because I had posted this quote from Robert Reich. And if you don't know who Robert Reich is, Robert Reich is a 4 foot tall Harvard economist, I believe. And that's his real claim to fame. He's become like a very good mouthpiece for the establishment in the sense that his whole economic philosophy is if we just give the government more power, then we can fix all of our economic woes. So he wrote this whole article about inflation and threw in there that one way people could tackle an inflation is to do what Governor Newsom's doing, which is proposing a windfall tax on gas and oil companies, because that will work. That will get the prices to go down, and that's going to help people at the pump. Side note, I was thinking about that, and this really has nothing to do with the windfall tax. I've noticed in our society that if you're a Harvard or Yale professor, you're almost like a high priest or priestess who's like, you can't question them. Like, they just know everything. And not to get all biblical on everybody, but it kind of reminds me of like the Pharisees who were like, they were infallible. You couldn't question them. That's what it's become really with like Harvard and Yale professors or Columbia or any of those Ivy Leagues. So anyway, got in this whole tizzy. A lot of people were like, no, this is a great idea. We should absolutely do a windfall tax. Those evil oil companies are making way too much money, and therefore we should definitely tax most of their profits. And I can't seem to get a straight answer of what happens after that. Where does that money go? What do we do with it? But yeah, that's where it sort of all started. And then we kind of went down the rabbit hole, and here we are. We have a lot of stuff to cover tonight, right, Camille?
Yes, always. I would like to know, what were some of the arguments in your lawyer chat for...
Let's see. One of them was, very scholarly, in the sense of, well, do you even know what a windfall tax is? Because it doesn't get passed on to the consumer.
Okay.
That was basically their whole thing. And I was like, sure. Yep. That's so what,
do they even understand taxes?
I don't
economics.
Lawyers are not known for understanding economics, but lawyers, much like doctors, have this sense of like, well, I've gone through all this schooling and I passed this really hard exam. Therefore, I can kind of master any subject. So lawyers have that sort of ego about them that they can understand anything. Okay. But the truth is, a lot of lawyers don't really know a lot about economics. So a lot of them were.
You do. Yeah. You enjoy studying economics.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I read a lot. I mean, I try to read books on it. I try to read more Austrian economics books. I try to, stay up on the news and stuff I don't understand. I just kind of look it up. But there's a lot of people who talk out of their butt when it comes to it. And the fact that their main argument was, well, it's not going to get passed along to the consumer because that's not how it works. I'm like, really?
So we should start there.
We could start there. Yeah. Let's talk about what a windfall tax is. So basically, I'm taking this from Investopedia, which is one of the more reliable sources when it comes to like economic definitions and like that. It literally says, what is a windfall tax? A windfall tax is a tax levied by governments against certain industries when economic conditions allow those industries to experience significantly above average profits. Windfall taxes are primarily levied on companies in the targeted industry that have benefited most from the economic windfall, most often commodity-based businesses. Does that narrow it down?
Yes, it narrows it down. You're probably still going to explain more just in case. But
well, lucky for you, the next paragraph is titled, How Windfall Taxes Work.
And there's no drum roll for that.
There's no drum roll for that. Okay. We're not hot on the soundboard tonight. Okay. Oil and gas companies are common targets of windfall taxes. The massive net income increase for oil and natural gas producers, the International Energy Agency estimates they will double from 2021 to 2022, hitting an unprecedented $2 trillion is the current trigger for the discussion and recent imposition of windfall taxes. For example, on September 30th, 2022, the Council of the European Union agreed to impose a, quote, temporary solidarity contribution, end quote, on businesses in the crude, petroleum, natural gas, coal, and refinery sectors on profits that are, quote, above a 20% increase in the average yearly taxable profits since 2018, end quote. This is on top of whatever taxes they already owe in their individual countries. In each member state, proceeds are to help households and companies and to ease the effects of high electricity prices. And in October 2022, President Biden threatened that he would seek a windfall profits on tax and oil or tax on oil and gas companies, which have reported very high profits and continue to charge high prices. He told them to use their, quote, outrageous, end quote, bonanza, the effect of the Ukraine war to expand oil supplies or reduce consumer prices. Okay.
Ukraine again. I sent you Congress in March introduced possible tax. So are we going to deal with two of these? So we're going to deal with a federal one and then a state one? Maybe.
Possibly. That seems to be the topic du jour. I think that's the way, and this is not new. So let's go back in time. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine, right? I think we both read this same article by the Tax Foundation, correct?
The one I sent you.
Windfall profit tax is still a bad idea.
Yes.
This one was actually all the way back in 2008. So this is not the first time that they've come up with this idea for a windfall tax. And it is in the toolbox of leftists and Democrats that when oil companies are making too much money, or they believe they're making too much money, and the prices at the pump get a little too high, they start to threaten, we're going to do these windfall taxes, which, again, just taxes on the profits that they are making. Now, we can get into the basic economics of why that's a bad idea. but this goes back to 2008. That Barack Obama came up with this windfall profit tax proposal. He was not the first one. And the article goes on to say that oil companies' profit margins are not outsized and that companies like Google look a lot more unreasonably profitable than Exxon. High oil prices are a signal of strong demand and scarce supply, and they provide incentive for increased production. Taxes discourage production because they drive a wedge between the price paid by the consumer and received by the supplier. Windfall profit tax also drive up the oil imports because they discriminate against domestic oil producers to the benefit of Saudis and the Venezuelans. So, again, harming American oil producers, but it doesn't hurt Venezuela, who the Biden administration has already negotiated with to increase more oil, and he wants to buy more oil for Venezuela. Combine that with the fact that Russia, we're not buying oil from Russia because they're in a war with Ukraine. We're kind of in this weird place of we're punishing producers here at home while also buying more from foreign markets to supplement. And we're also begging, what was it, Saudi Arabia not too long ago that Biden went over Was it Saudi Arabia?
I'm not sure.
He went over and begged. I think it might have been Saudi Arabia where he went over and begged them. I'm not positive. It was one of those countries where he begged, can you please increase oil production because the midterms are coming up and I want you to make me look good. The Saudis, I think, said no, flat out. They're not going to produce anymore. All right.
When we buy oil from these companies, how do we get them here?
Well, they come across on a boat.
Okay.
And that boat is not powered by unicorns and solar energy.
No?
No, it's powered by, I believe, oil.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so it takes, oil, and it has a carbon footprint to get more of that oil over here.
I imagine it costs us to pay the crew and the maintenance of the ships and whatnot to get the oil and bring it here.
I would imagine so, yeah. I think it probably costs money to pay to get people to put it on the boat, to take care of it while it's on the boat, to steer the boat, to manage the boat. And then when it gets here, they have to get it off the boat. And then it has to go through some sort of customs, which costs more customs workers, as opposed to if they want to just drill here in California, where there's plenty of oil wells.
But drilling in America hurts the environment.
And we can't have that.
No.
As long as it hurts the environment over in Venezuela.
No, obviously, it doesn't hurt the environment elsewhere.
No, but it does hurt the environment here. And that's all we really care about.
Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit more, because I want to kind of really set up where all this came from. Let me see if I can find the correct article.
I try to laugh at things.
I know there, we have a lot of articles, so it was, I think I lost it. I have too many. Just going back to like sort of through history, windfall taxes, the most prominent one, as I read before, started way back in World War I.
Okay.
And this was, I think I know where it is. So during World War I, before the U.S. entered the war in 1917, U.S. Steel and DuPont's annual profits increased more than 1,000% each, and pressure grew for a war effort's profit tax. Instituted in October 1917, the tax raised nearly $7 billion in revenue, nearly 40% of all funds raised for the war, and was the largest source of wartime taxation. As large companies found ways around the tax, smaller companies were more affected. The tax was abolished in 1921. So that was really our first foray as a country into windfall taxes, with a myriad of success. The second one, which was not that successful, was during Jimmy Carter's administration. Back in 1980, then President Carter signed into law the Crude Oil Windfall Profits Tax Act, which imposed a 70% excise tax on the amount of an oil sale price exceeding $12.81 per barrel, $36 in 2007 dollars, who God knows what it is today in 2022 dollars. The terms of the new windfall tax are undefined, but this has to go back to Obama and everything like that. Carter's windfall profits fell short of its projected revenues, partly because it was discouraged domestic production and partly because worldwide economic events caused oil prices to fall sharply during the early 1980s. According to the Congressional Research Service, the Carter-era windfall profit tax reduced domestic oil production by 3 to 6% and increased foreign oil imports by 8 to 16%. So to your point, where does the other oil come from? We have to go get it somewhere. If it's not coming from domestic producers, it has to come from somewhere else.
Yes.
And
which we buy from several countries.
Yes. And we don't care about their environment. We just care that our environment is okay.
Now, we also import crude oil. Export crude oil.
Yes.
I don't know much. That also doesn't make sense to me.
That we export crude oil?
Yes. I mean, are we exporting what we import, or are we exporting what we're getting from our own wells?
The way I think it's described is that you export it. We export it because it goes onto like a world market.
Okay.
And then it gets sold out. So, for example, during the Trump years, oil, gas was so cheap. Because our domestic production was so high, we were basically flooding the entire world market with crude. And because there was so much crude, thanks to the United States pumping at full capacity, internationally, the price of oil dropped. And that's why gasoline ended up being so cheap, was because at the end of the day, the commodity of crude was so much more cheaper. That led to OPEC trying to screw the United States and put American refineries out of business by constricting their supply, because they're like, okay, now we're going to cut our supply to even out the playing field because America is producing too much oil. Whole different issue. But yeah, it does seem like it is confusing as to why can we produce stuff here and not just...
Lights. Sorry.
It's your poltergeist is back.
I guess there's like certain trigger words. Go Trump, on, I'm sorry.
Is Trump the trigger word? Your light doesn't like the word Trump.
Yes.
So yeah, that's why a lot of people think, well, why don't we produce it here? I mean, I guess you have to get into why the whole oil market is the way it is. That's just OPEC and that whole cartel. But that's a whole different bunch of, that's a whole... a bunch of other things that we have to unravel. Not really going to talk about in this episode. So have we set it up well enough, like what a windfall tax is and whether or not it's had a successful past or a kind of checkered past?
Yes, I feel you went through the history well.
Okay. So now comes 2022, which is where we get this special session that was called by Gavin Newsom. Because he said, in his own words, that oil companies have enjoyed record profits too much, that the time for gouging Californians is over. He's going to put a stop to it, and he's going to stand up for the average Californians. So they called this special session because they're going to talk about introducing a windfall tax. And you actually got a copy of the proposed language, which we're going to get into as well. Okay. This is an article...
You made it sound like I like went up to Sacramento and knocked on doors and was like, give me a copy. No, it's because they talked about it in the, like they had a special session. It's available online.
Yeah. It's not like we have any like special insider connections.
I like handed someone some cash.
Yeah. Camille's a very good researcher, but she's not like doing backroom deals of like, can you give me an advanced copy that's not even out there yet?
Yeah, no.
This isn't like breaking exclusive news. You can go find this language yourself.
Yeah.
Gas prices in California are consistently higher than the rest of the country, thanks to state taxes, a cleaner fuel blend, an isolated gas refining market, and more. But in September, California prices jumped even higher, and that gap grew wider. Governor Gavin Newsom pointed the finger at the gas industry when he talked to reporters in early October, saying, companies were fleecing drivers and called for a new windfall profit tax on oil companies. Valero, an international oil company that owns refineries in California, saw its profits from July to September increase 500% over the same period last year, and profits on West Coast operations increased dramatically in April through June compared to the same time last year as companies that own the state's largest refineries, an analysis by Consumer Watchdog found. And then it goes on to talk about what we already talked about, windfall profit taxes, checkered past. I'm just trying to, they talk about how in Alaska in 2006, they did it, but that's because Alaska drills so much that they can actually afford to do that. Then they talk about during the wars.
To do that? Just because Alaska drills so much, should they have a windfall tax imposed on them?
I mean, no.
Okay.
So actually the funny story is my college roommate was from Alaska. And so he would get a $1,200 check every year.
Okay.
Because every citizen of Alaska would get a $1,200 check.
Right.
I don't know if I mean, the argument can be made that you don't even need the tax to begin with, but yeah, he got $1,200 and he looked forward to it every year because that was like his little stipend, especially when you're a college kid. I'm just trying to find highlights of this article. I need to figure out how to highlight on my web pages so that I can do that. Anyway, okay, so there's not really much to talk about in this. Oh, here we go. So how would all of this work? Details are spare at this point, but the basic idea is that companies that extract, produce, and refine oil would pay a higher tax rate on their earnings above a set amount each year. A spokesperson for the governor said the money raised by the tax would be sent via refunds to California taxpayers impacted by high gas prices, said a spokesperson for the governor. The logic behind windfall profit taxes is to tax a company at a higher rate when they're making giant profits, a windfall, for some reason, not of their own making. Often there's a moral dimension to the thinking as well, said Kirk Stark, a tax law professor at UCLA. Theoretically, taxing extra high profits at an extra high rate should make companies less likely to capitalize on circumstances like war and natural disasters to jack up prices, like a shopkeeper who raises the price of bottled water from $2 to $4 following a hurricane. There's almost a kind of moral judgment that in some situation, market prices can be immoral. Getting the incentives right is tricky, said Borenstein, as is preventing companies from evading the tax. If, for example, the state taxes profits of California refineries, those refineries owned by companies, including Chevron and Valero, could start buying oil from another division of their parent company at higher prices. By doing that, they could reduce their profit. And if they're no longer making large profits, their tax bill would go down. So, back to the arguments that these astute lawyers that I was arguing with made, that if you impose this profit tax, it's not like the companies are all of a sudden going to go, oh, gee golly, well, they're going to tax our profits. I guess we better turn over all that money. It's hard to think that attorneys are not smart enough to think, gee, I'm an attorney. Wouldn't I, if I were hired by Chevron, figure out how to get around this windfall tax? If I was an accountant, wouldn't I figure out how to do that for Chevron if I'm being paid big bucks to get around the windfall tax?
Right. Agreed. That would be their job. I would hope that they would think that way. But it's sad to me that they believe this isn't affecting the consumer. That they just don't think that way, that they're like, well, no, it's only going to hurt the company. We, the buyers of gas, aren't affected by this. Yeah. Okay.
Well, the one thing that's interesting, and you and I have, like I said, gone down the rabbit hole and looked at a lot of articles and a lot of other information. The one thing I did not see is a resounding statement or argument that, hey, this does reduce gas prices. I didn't see any evidence that it actually does reduce gas prices. So I guess my question to Gavin Newsom is what is your end goal here in terms of what do you look to get out of this? So if you think they're going to lower prices, well, they're not going to lower prices because you added on a new tax. In all likelihood, they're going to what?
They're going to raise prices because we're going to pay for that tax, because that's how that works.
Absolutely. Like, they're going to find other ways to compensate for the fact that they're getting reduced profits. It's not going to be as simple as, well, they're just going to turn over all the money. Hold on, I'm pulling up something on my phone. I just realized I haven't been watching the chat and YouTube this whole time. Anyway. Yeah, and it's not like they're going to go, well, geez, we were really bad. We feel really sorry about making 500% more profit. So therefore, I guess we'll lower prices to kind of compensate and do that. No, they're not going to do that. They still have to pay their workers. They still have to pay their employees. They still have to pay the people who push the pencils. They still have to pay the people who drill for the oil, who transport the oil and do all that. Those costs, those fixed costs, don't change just because you impose a windfall profits tax. And it's not going to budge anything at the end of the day. You're not going to go over to your gas station and go, oh, thank God they imposed this tax, because now gas went from $4 a gallon down to $2.99 a gallon. Like, that's not going to happen. I think that's why people are it looks good for the politicians, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really do anything other than make them look good, right?
Right. So the text in that, in the proposed bill, what is it, ABX12? They talk about how then the consumers will get a check back. I don't know how often we're supposed to get these checks back, but who do you think is really going to get the checks? These refunds, these.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be, it's going to be like all these rebate checks. It's certainly not going to be people with poltergeists in their house like you. It's going to be, it's going to be people below a certain income level. They'll get $200 or, you know, a direct deposit. That'll say state of California, $200.
Like, I mean, seriously, are they going to be taxed on that? Is that going to be taxable? Probably.
It probably will be taxable income because it's income. Okay. I don't see it as being a non-taxable item, but it's going to be, it's not every Californian is going to see the benefit of it. And that's really, you know,
we're all going to pay for the pump because the taxes are going to be passed on to us. Because
in one way,
Chevron would be like, oh, we don't like making a profit.
In one way or another. Correct. And that was another argument one of these astute lawyers made was, well, they tax on the profits, not on what, you know, your internal operating expenses are. So therefore, they can't pass it on to the consumer. Right. Because you don't think they know if we go above this certain amount, then we're going to pay a tax. And if we go above that certain amount, then we have to pay this tax and we're not going to make as much money in profit. So we have to increase and make more money elsewhere. So right. It's going to be, and this is probably why it has a checkered past and why windfall taxes don't really work, is because people are smart enough, accountants are smart enough, tax attorneys are smart enough to figure out how to get around all of this. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some lobbyists as we speak right now for oil and gas in California. And yes, they exist. One of them is Gavin Newsom's best friend, Jason Kenney. Go look him up. They do exist, and they do speak into the ear of a lot of Sacramento politicians. So I would not be surprised if this does ever pass. There'll be enough loopholes for the bigger companies to get around this, but the smaller refineries will not. And those smaller refineries are going to suffer, while the bigger refineries are going to get away with it and figure out how to do what they want.
And the smaller refineries will either have to go out of business or leave the state.
Yes. And we're going to get to that in a minute, why that is a bad thing.
Okay.
So, but I want to talk more about the wording of the actual bill. Again, this is where a highlighter would have come in handy. I'm trying to find there was one part of it that really kind of ticked me off. From August to October 2022, Californians experienced some of the highest gasoline prices ever recorded in the state. Even though the price of crude oil declined, state taxes and fees remain unchanged, and gasoline prices did not increase outside the western United States. Let's just stop right there, because they already acknowledge that state taxes and fees are a big part of why Californians do pay more at the pump. So combine that with the fact that everyone was paying more for the pump because of the pandemic and restricted supply lines and supply chains. That would mean by logically, and I know logic doesn't really go that far in California, that we would still be paying more at the pump, because we were already the most expensive before COVID. We're still the most expensive after COVID. So state taxes and fees remain unchanged. And that's one of the big reasons why California gas is so expensive. So they're trying to blame why gas is expensive on the refineries without kind of saying, don't look at the fact that gas is really expensive because there's all these gas taxes and fines and all this stuff, and our gas has to be cleaner blends and all this stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with cleaner blends. I mean, we don't like smog over all of our cities, but they don't acknowledge the fact why gas is already expensive here in California. They just say, well, it must be more expensive than the rest of the country because of all these evil gas companies. Already shifting the blame.
When did, who was it? When the legislation, when did they vote on pausing the gas tax?
When did they try to vote on it?
When they voted, it didn't go through. But when was that?
Was that, I don't know, if was that this year or last year?
That was this year.
Was it already this year? Man, that jam-packed year.
Long year. It was this year. I feel like it was this summer. I don't remember exactly. Maybe it was May. But they didn't even pause it for us and then just sort of swept it under the rug. And then they're like, oh, look at all this. It's the oil companies, forgetting the part where they could have, you know, suspended it for us for a few months.
Well, because I think at the end of the day, if they did that, then they would be showing their hand, which is they'd be afraid that Californians would see if all of a sudden their gas dropped 50 cents because the gas tax was suspended. You don't think a lot of Californians would go, boy, we pay a lot in gas tax, so this sucks. Maybe we should get rid of the gas tax entirely. Maybe we're getting taxed too much. That's one reason why I don't think they would have supported it, because it does show just how bad the gas tax is.
Yes. And yeah. Gavin Newsom has twice now, two different attorney generals, asked them to look into, open a case on why the gas tax in California is so high, or why the gas prices in California are so high. He's had two different attorney generals do that.
And we haven't gotten an answer on either of them.
No. Nowhere.
Because again, it's not really about taking care of Californians. It's about the virtue words. Signaling.
Just words.
I'm kind of looking through this language. I'm surprised they got this together so fast. I read that they only met for like 3 minutes, which was pretty incredible. So they got together for this special session, only got together for like 3 minutes, and then it convened for 3 minutes and then they disbanded. So,
okay.
And let's see. So it does have language in here that talks about the commission may impose an administrative civil penalty for a violation of subdivision D. The amount of the penalty shall presumptively be set based on the amount of which the refiner's gross gasoline refining margin, excluding the state program costs, exceed the maximum gross gasoline refining margin, converted from barrels to gallons and multiplied by the number of gallons sold by the refiner during the calendar year as follows. And then it goes blank percent on amounts earned by a refiner that exceed the maximum gross gasoline refining margin by less than blank cents per gallon, blank percent on amounts earned. And it just keeps going on and on and on. So that's it. That's their whole bill. Not very long, a couple pages. They basically blame everything on the gas company, and they're going to propose whatever number. Now, that's the tricky part, is how much are they going to actually do? Is it going to be enough to actually penalize them, or is it going to be enough to actually get a return on it? Because it is a tightrope. It's not easy, and a lot of companies will probably just close up shop and move out, or just stop working, or they'll figure out ways around it. So that's going to be the tricky part, is figuring out how much
they
actually do. I guess we're going to have to wait and see on what those numbers actually are.
Now, why do we hate that companies make profits? Now, obviously, you and I don't want to be gouged on things, but why are we so anti they make a profit?
Well, they're anti making a profit because it's the big bad oil companies. And
why don't they?
It's like that. It's like that Tax Foundation article said. You could make a stronger argument that a lot of these tech companies are making unreasonable, much more unreasonable profits than these gas companies.
Yeah, isn't it? I forget now. I thought Alphabet was the highest, the profits. Second, maybe I'm wrong.
Probably. Sorry, Winnie caught me off guard. I think it was an Amazon driver or something, dropping something off. Yeah, when you look at Google or Twitter or Facebook, Meta, whatever you want to call it now, you could look at how much profit they're making. And you can look at how much they're actually, I mean, I guess their expenses, because the fact that Elon Musk went in and found tons of people sitting around doing absolutely nothing shows you that Twitter's expenses are definitely not as high as a gas company where they actually have to pay people to do things. So I can imagine their profits are much higher. So why aren't we talking about windfall tax on the tech companies? Also, why are we not talking about a windfall tax on Jeff Bezos? Because the windfall tax was created to kind of discourage these companies from gouging people or making a lot of money in harsh times, like war or natural disasters. Like the example, they don't want to gouge people for water during a hurricane when they can't get access to clean water, or they don't want to gouge people for generators and stuff like that. Like that's the whole point of why you don't want a windfall or you want a windfall gas or windfall tax. I'm going to get this right. A windfall tax on profits. But Jeff Bezos made an enormous sum of money during the pandemic because everyone was locked inside their house. And I think probably Bernie Sanders probably proposed that there should be some sort of windfall tax on Jeff Bezos. But knowing that, you know, it's Bernie Sanders, he probably folded like a cheap suit once it came down to it and actually proposing something. So it's interesting that they just select the oil company because it's always been sort of the big bad boogeyman of the left is the oil company. They represent everything that supposedly the left stands against, which is big capitalism, corporate greed, fossil fuels, anti-environment, like it's everything that the left hates. So it's mm-hmm. the perfect boogeyman for them to sort of go after and say, we're going to tax you on all of your profits. But if you're a good billionaire like Jeff Bezos, who pledges he's going to give all of his money away to climate change at the end of his life, then you get a pass. You can make exuberant, disgusting profits every year, year over year. You can increase them 500%, 1,000%. They don't care. So I don't know if that answered your question or if I just went completely on a rant.
I don't, you both. I mean, there's no logical answer, but you gave their logical answer.
Yeah. I mean, they're picking on the oil companies because it's easy in California to pick on the oil companies. But at the end of, you know, gas is this weird thing in California. And this kind of comes with my thought that like California Democrats hate poor people. Because it seems like everything they do is directly it has a direct effect on those of lower economic status in California. The gas tax is probably the biggest one, but that 50 cents per gallon of gas tax makes an enormous difference at the end of the week when someone has to drive back and forth to work and how much money they're putting into their tank. So for some people, it could be the difference between, are you putting gas in your car, or are you putting food on the table, or are you paying your electric bill, or are you paying for internet so that your kids can do their homework? Like, that's literally, that gas tax could affect, and it probably does affect, many, many Californians in our state. And California Democrats don't care, because they're like, oh, it's good for us. We get a gas tax and we're supposed to be fixing infrastructure, and this is all good for the environment.
I was going to bring that up, actually. Okay. Newsom's, was it, and -1919, the executive order, where he basically took the gas tax funds that were supposed to be used for infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And then he just abused those funds. And then I think we got taxed more because I don't remember how much money was allocated, you know, for the roads and stuff. And then he was like, nope, going to take it and use it for something else. And then I think we got taxed even more after that, which,
well, yeah.
I mean, you've talked about that many times, but we're paying more and more taxes for our governor to, and our politicians to literally abuse, misuse these funds. Like, we're paying our politicians to abuse our money.
Mm-hmm. Side note, this is why you always look at every proposition, and if it gives them the ability to put money back in the general fund, just ixnay it right off the bat. Because if it says, we're going to raise funds for school plays and music and all these wonderful things, and then it's like, side note, we also can put it back in the general fund to do whatever we want.
Right. They do that tricky wording, even in that one, ABX12. It's like, this bill will expand, expansion, create, like, mm-hmm. several times, which is just meaning expand more money for this, create more.
Yeah. It says all penalties collected under this section, less refunds and reimbursement to the commission for expenses incurred on the collection of. I wonder how much the commission is going to charge in doing all this. Probably a hefty sum.
So let's say that, you know, this windfall tax happens and that they, you know, want to give the money back to the people. How much money, what percentage of it's actually going to go back to the people? And even then, only some of the people, not. Mm-hmm. You know, who cares how much I drive or don't drive? I'm not going to see a dime of that.
No. It goes on to say, shall be deposited into the price gouging penalty fund.
Yes, yeah, so which they're going to create. That's new, right?
That's a new. Sense. Yeah, it's a new fund. And whether they can borrow out of that fund, left to be. I mean, they could amend that in a second and get their grimy hands on it. Which is hereby created in the state treasury and upon appropriation by the legislature shall be returned as refunds to residents of the state.
Residents. Okay.
Residents.
Not necessarily citizens.
No, not citizens, residents of the state. Yeah, so it's, you know, they leave the language very fluid so that at the end of the day, they can do more of what they want with it. Just like the gas tax supposed to go in this big infrastructure pot where it was going to fix all of our roads and our bridges and everything. And then, like you said, it started to go to other things like pandemic prevention and whatever Gavin Newsom just decided under his executive order. So I can imagine this will probably be, if this does go into effect, I can imagine this will be pillaged by politicians just the same way. And do the rebates come back regularly? Like, how often are these rebates going to come back to the citizens?
I have the same question.
Is it going to be once a year? Is it going to be twice a year? Is it going to be every quarter you're going to get a check? Because it cost, I'm trying to remember the number, but even to administer that Golden State stimulus, whatever that they sent out, I think it cost like hundreds of millions of dollars to administer that.
Yes.
Because that's how inefficient the government is that they couldn't figure out how to do that for a lot cheaper.
Right. Right. So, yes.
every time we do this, it's probably going to cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, these make me sad.
Also, people could get like $200 back in their direct deposit.
Did everyone that was supposed to get the gas refund from this year already?
Actually,
are they still working on that?
I think I did, because it goes off of your 2021 income, and we weren't married until the end of 2021, so I technically qualified.
Okay.
So we got some money, but we won't see that money.
You already filled up your tank once, it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't really last that long with two cars and one of them being a big Jeep SUV. Good call on our part, you know, right during a pandemic. Why don't we buy a big Jeep SUV that gets like 19 miles to the gallon? Okay. Any other things we want to touch upon before we move into,
don't you?
I mean, it's kind of exciting. It's just hilarious because I'm like, is this real life or are we living in a simulation right now? Cause that's what it feels like. Actually, I do want to talk about this last article. Maybe I'll bring it up because I think it's you shared this with me. This is sort of the fallout of all of this punishment to oil companies is going to have a direct negative effect on the California taxpayer. That they're going to push a lot of these oil companies out of the state. And what happens is a lot of times they just kind of leave these wells behind, and then who cleans up after them, right? It says the price of oil produced in California this year reached its highest level in a decade. President Joe Biden is releasing millions of barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to keep oil prices in check. Fossil fuel companies' earnings are so high that Governor Gavin Newsom has called for a windfall tax. Appropriate. It might seem like a lucrative time to drill for oil in the Golden State, yet some of the world's largest oil companies, several of which have done business in the state for more than a century, are selling assets and beginning to pull out of California. Even with strong cash flow in the short term, producers have more to gain from offloading wells and the associated liability, chiefly expensive environmental cleanup, than from pumping more oil and gas, experts say. This is the kind of deal you see when an industry is in its twilight. Some industry experts, lawmakers, and environmentalists are concerned about the recent deals, noting that sales shift environmental liability from corporate powerhouses to less capitalized firms, increasing the risk that aging wells will be left orphaned, unplugged, and leaking oil, brine and climate warming, methane. They see a threat that the state's oil industry could repeat a pattern seen in other attractive industries like coal mining and lead to taxpayers bearing cleanup costs. So you sent this article to me. Do you want to give me the rundown of it?
Oil wells will get abandoned. Someone has to clean them up. The companies basically went bankrupt, have no money, and it's left on the taxpayers to fund the process of cleaning these, closing them up, capping them off. That's the gist I got from that.
That is the gist.
But that's the basics.
This was a shocking number to me. Supermajor Shell and ExxonMobil recently agreed to sell more than 23,000 wells in California. That seems like a lot of wells in California.
Yeah. There's a list I actually didn't link you, and there's like 5,300 that they believe are about to be abandoned that the taxpayers are going to have to be funding the cleanup for.
That's incredible.
And then I feel like the number that they said was like 200 something thousand wells in California.
That's a lot of wells.
Yeah.
Imagine if all those wells were like working at full capacity. Now, I know they don't all work at full capacity. Like there's plenty of wells that just, they don't work anymore. They don't have any gas or oil in them anymore. It's not gas until it's actually refined. But man, 23,000 wells in California. It sounds like California could have been like the biggest oil producer in the entire country.
I think we were for a while.
Even more than Texas?
Oil boom at sometime in the, what was it, the 1800s, the 1900s?
And we could have like super, super, super cheap gas here in California. Like we could have all the gas produced in California go back to California gas stations. Or again, I keep screwing this up. We could have all the oil be refined here in California, and that gasoline could go to gas stations here in California, and gas here would be like 99 cents.
Dream big.
Dream big.
Big.
I don't know if it'll ever go back to that, but that's really what it comes down to. California has the authority to ask for an additional $30 million in financial security from a single operator, but only requires ERA as one of these companies that is like a subsidiary to hold a $3 million bond. As a result, ERA's bonds cover less than 0.5% of the $1.1 billion that ProPublica estimates it would cost the state to plug the wells based on the average cost to California for past well plugging.
For that alleged surplus that we had, that was, Gavin said $73 billion, but then it was only like $45 billion, but then they've already used it up.
Wasn't it $100 billion and now... Well, I did see that because there's so many people leaving California that we're having a state revenue problem where there's just not.
That's going to continue. Like we didn't even talk about the fact that Chevron just sold its headquarters to downsize because it's shifting most of its workers to Texas.
And that's going to reduce a lot of.
Right. And so when they get their windfall tax, what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to stay? They're already ready to shift to Texas, or I'm sure they're going to be like, all right, we're leaving.
Yeah, there's no point in staying here. Well, we can go make money somewhere else.
We'll go be appreciated elsewhere, California.
Exactly. So I guess this is like the fallout of the windfall tax, because if you're going to tax their profits and it doesn't make sense to stay here, excuse me. These companies are going to leave. And this is one of those unintended consequences of leftist policies, is that they don't see this far ahead and think that companies are just going to get up and leave. They're going to abandon these wells. They're going to figure out a way through bankruptcy and all that to take no liability at all. And the taxpayer will be on the hook for it. And then, of course, the vicious cycle will continue, because then there'll be articles written like this one saying, oh, look at all these gas companies or oil companies that left. And we, the taxpayers, are stuck filling up all their abandoned wells. Well, now, why did they leave?
I'm just curious how we're going to be able to afford the required electric vehicles when we're paying for all these closed cleanup oil wells.
I'll give you two guesses, but I'll give you one. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint for one of the guesses. It's taxes. That's what it's going to be. It's not, it's either taxes or they figure out how to make things more efficient in the government. Which do you think it'll be?
It's going to be taxes.
It's going to be taxes, because it's always taxes. When at the end of the day, there's no idea that no, there's no tax that passes through Sacramento that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Okay.
So here's the, this is what I think you were talking about. 240,000 wells have pierced the state since the late 1800s.
There you go.
That's a lot. Of those, more than 5,300 are orphaned, deserted, and potentially deserted wells.
How many are deserted?
5,300.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there's a really good book. I think it's Henry Hazlitt. It's either, I can never properly remember. It's like Economics in One Lesson or something like that, but look it up. That his theory is basically this whole thing in a nutshell, where politicians don't think in terms of repercussions and what could possibly happen down the line. They only think in terms of the here and now. And this will have a lasting impact on the state. It'll have a lasting impact on taxpayers. It will not help the consumers at the end of the day. They always think right here and right now. They don't think 10 steps down the road. They don't think 20 steps down the road. They only just think right here and right now. And that's the whole theory of that book. And this is one of those perfect examples, in my opinion, that it sounds good. And, you know, you're going to score a couple political points so that you can stay in office or get the praise of Robert Reich from Harvard, but it doesn't make sense in the real world, and it's going to end up hurting everyday Californians. Mm-hmm. So any final thoughts on the gas tax before we move on to our final lighter topic?
I just want lower taxes. I just want less taxes. That's my thoughts.
I just miss the days where when I first started driving, I'd pull out a crisp $10 bill, give it to the gas station attendant, and go fill her up.
When you could actually safely keep $10 in your car for those gas emergencies, knowing yep. that no one's going to break into your car, take your $10, and that it would. Where did you live that they filled up the gas for you?
New Jersey. It's illegal. You can't. It's the last state. In California, or in the last state in the country, I'm so California oriented. It's not all California. It's the last state in the country that does not allow you to pump your own gas. It is illegal.
I remember being a kid and going to the gas station. They'd have little signs that said, "We serve ladies," but those disappeared by the time I turned 16. Now, ladies,
Oregon. Anyway. Somebody said in the chat, Oregon, they actually just stopped that a couple of years ago. And a lot of people were very freaked out about the turnover because they'd grown up their whole lives not knowing how to pump gas. And then like one day they're like, "Hey, you got to pump your own gas." And people are like, "What?" I remember the first time I had to pump my own gas here in California. I was like, I got to go talk to someone. I got to get permission to pump gas. What is going on here? This is really weird. But yeah, in California, in New Jersey, why do I keep saying California? But in New Jersey, you still can't pump your own gas. So you pull up and you tell the attendant $10. And back then.
So do you have to wait? Like, is there like one person working? I'm sorry, now I'm really curious about this. Like, if there's like six pumps, is there just the one person and they're kind of like running from pump to pump?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And it could be.
This is a foreign concept to me. So I'm curious how it works.
Now, there's plenty of times I remember sitting in the car with my mom and, you know, the gas pump would go off. You'd hear the click and you could see that the numbers stopped going and you'd be looking around going, you know, like, where's this kid who's pumping my gas? Where is he? My mom would get very frustrated and she'd be huffing and puffing. It'd be like 30 seconds or something,
but she'd tip them.
No, you don't tip them.
Okay.
So it was probably the worst job in the world to be someone who pumped gas because you didn't get tips and you had to sit there and smell gasoline all day, which gasoline like rots your brain. I remember reading that like the smell of gasoline kills brain cells. So if you work 8-hour days smelling gasoline, you're not doing yourself any favors. It's not like you can do this and then like go to college. Like you're killing more brain cells just working at a gas station. But funny story, this is really off topic before we get onto Donald Trump's big announcement. There is this Sunoco in town. Now, mind you, my little town in New Jersey, real small rural town, only like less than 10,000 people, literally like one main street, like that's where everything went through, had three gas stations right in a row. And I don't know why they needed three gas stations right in a row for 10,000. Not maybe. There was so much of a backup that people had to go to different gas stations. But there was three right in a row. And one of them had this brilliant idea that I'm going to set myself apart. And even though my gas is the most expensive out of the three, I'm going to hire hot young girls to pump the gas in like skimpy clothing. And they got the nickname, the Sunoco Angels. So you would see the line during the summertime was all at Sunoco to go get gas. And the other two gas stations had nobody in them. So
this just went downhill so fast.
So that was the Sunoco Angels. It was a real thing for a while.
How old were you when this happened?
Well, I just started driving, so I was like 16 or 17.
Okay.
Just a lesson in capitalism there. You need to differentiate yourself from the rest of the crowd. And speaking of differentiating yourself from the rest of the crowd, if you want to differentiate yourself as a presidential candidate, there's one thing you could do, and that is you can sell your own trading cards. And as of yesterday, the big announcement from Donald Trump, the big major announcement that everybody was on the edge of their seat for and tweeting about, that Donald Trump had a big announcement, is that he's going to sell his own greeting cards or greeting cards, trading cards. Are you ready for this? Have you watched the video?
I haven't watched the video, so this will be good.
Okay. Okay. We're going to watch the video and then we're going to make our comments and then we'll end the show there.
No sound.
There's no sound?
No sound.
Ah, okay. Let me try it again. Okay. Oh, wait. I know what I did. I know what I did. There we go. Start it again.
Hello, everyone. This is Donald Trump, hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln, better than Washington, with an important announcement to make. I'm doing my first official Donald J. Trump NFT collection right here and right now. They're called Trump Digital Trading Cards. These cards feature some of the really incredible artwork pertaining to my life and my career. It's been very exciting. You can collect your Trump digital cards just like a baseball card or other collectibles. Here's one of the best parts. Each card comes with an automatic chance to win amazing prizes like dinner with me. I don't know if that's an amazing prize, but it's what we have. Or golf with you and a group of your friends at one of my beautiful golf courses, and they are beautiful. I'm also doing Zoom calls, a one-on-one meeting, autographing memorabilia, and so much more. We're doing a lot. My official Trump digital trading cards are $99, which doesn't sound like very much for what you're getting. Buy one and you will join a very exclusive community. It's my community. And I think it's something you're going to like and you're going to like it a lot. They also make perfect gifts. So you can buy them with your credit card or crypto. All you need is an email address. Go to collecttrumpcards.com. and buy your Trump digital trading cards right now before they are all gone, and they will be gone. This is my first official Trump trading card NFT collection, and you get a chance to meet me. Go to collecttrumpcards.com right now, and remember, Christmas is coming, and this makes a great Christmas gift.
No purchase necessary.
That might... I'm sorry. That might be the most Donald Trumpian thing in the entire. I mean, it's definitely these pictures. Okay, let me pull up some of these pictures. Like this one. Like who sat down and went, Mr. Trump, I have this idea. We're gonna take pictures. You take your face and we're going to superimpose it and Photoshop it onto a superhero wrestler body with a American flag.
I think I love the John Wayne-esque one the most.
Oh yeah. There's one. Is it this one? Oh, Trump, the cowboy.
It's Trump, like the sheriff.
This is Trump on a football field with 45. He's on the 45-yard line, which there's no such thing as the 45-yard line in football. It's the 40-yard line. The Top Gun with sunglasses on. It's just... And the commercial itself is just so Trumpian.
Oh, it is.
They're probably your most favorite president ever. More than Lincoln. Lincoln was good. But listen, I'm probably the best. Okay? Listen, gotta get these. They're already gone, actually. They're so good. I'm being told right now, I'm filming this commercial, they're already gone. Okay? Don't even bother. They're so popular. Here's me in an astronaut costume. Do you like this one? This is me. One small step for Trump, one giant leap for Trump kind. Okay? And I don't know, what's he supposed to be here? Is he a wrestler? Is he a superhero?
He's a wrestling superhero.
He's a wrestling superhero.
Why can't he be both things?
When you're Donald Trump, you can do whatever you want, include.
The astronaut one is also on the now made up 45-yard line.
You can get the astronaut on the 45-yard line?
Did you see that? Like, or was that just the way it looked like it was on the 45-yard line, but maybe it's just 45?
Oh, no, it's like a platform that says 45. And like they gave him a little smirk, too. They were like, here, Trump, you're going to do a little smirk in this picture. With your glasses on. Like this, so, none of this makes any sense. He's a cowboy. Trump is not a cowboy. So why would you make Trump a cowboy?
We talked about NFTs, and the whole purpose of the NFT is that it's supposed to be what comes with the NFT, which in this case, he talked about you're going to get automatically entered to win a prize. There's different prizes associated with different NFTs of these. And like, did you read any of that? I actually did read that part. I have the links open right now where like there's one prize where you have to purchase a minimum of 45 Trump NFTs and then you're entered to win one ticket to a 2000 person President Trump gala dinner at a location, date and time to be determined by sponsor in its sole discretion. Okay. The fine print on this, though, because, oh, then at the end, did you notice they're like, no purchase necessary. So I clicked on that. I'm like, okay. So the point of the NFTs now is that you get entered into these exclusive sweepstakes, but it turns out anyone can enter these sweepstakes. There's no purchase necessary. You just have to get a little index card and a number 10 envelope and handwrite it, send it off, and you're allowed to, up to 100 of these entries. And so anyone can enter this. So those of you listening, if you can't afford this $99 NFT, oh, go to the website and you can enter. But then it talks about like, okay, so the golfing trip and whatnot that you can win. You get the golfing trip, but you have to pay your way to get there. They're not gonna pay for your hotel. They're not gonna pay for your flight, your Uber, whatever. Like that's all on you.
So you still have to get to Trump.
That's all on you. And they choose obviously the date of these events. And if you're not available or he suddenly becomes unavailable, they'll give you a free NFT in place of the prize.
This is like, this is like one of the most.
Hold on. There was something. I was so confused about this. There was something like if you happen to purchase the NFT and win the prize, to get the prize, you must burn your NFT. Okay, what does that mean? It's effectively destroying the token by sending it to an address that nobody possesses, even though the NFT will exist on the blockchain. There's no way of accessing it. Therefore, it's considered burned or removed from circulation. So these collector cards are no longer, if you want a prize, they're no longer a collector card. You have to like burn it to collect your prize. And now you can't even trade your trading card.
I'm confused. I just see Trump in a cowboy hat and go, what the heck is going on here? Whose idea was this? How many people actually ran out? I'm sure there's probably a lot of people who ran out and bought this.
Go ahead and right click on that and make it your screensaver, make it your desktop.
That I might.
You know you
won't. I'm going to make it the one where it like bounces around your screen too. So you just see Trump in a cowboy outfit bouncing around my screen. And people will be like, what is on your screensaver? All right. So final thought or final opinion. Trump is clearly the front runner for the Republicans in 2024. Would you say this is a good move or a bad move on the part of Trump?
Define good move. Define good versus bad.
Do you think this makes him more likely to be voted as president or less likely people will vote for him as president?
I think it actually is a good move.
Oh, okay. Explain.
As ridiculous as it is, and I'm laughing at it, everyone's talking about it.
That is true.
Him. No one's like, in fact, I saw a lot of people be like, see, Trump is the front runner. Trump is the man. Like, they're not, people that love Trump aren't going to be like, oh, I'm not going to vote for him now because he released a bunch of these silly NFTs with him being a wrestler and a football player and an astronaut and cowboy. Like, they're, I mean, the diehard Trump fans are like, yeah, he is all those things anyway. See?
He's everything. He's the God Emperor.
I always pictured him to be.
He's everything to every man. Everything. It reminds me a lot of, back in the day on Reddit, there was this subreddit called The Donald, and it was all dedicated to like Donald Trump running for president. And yeah, a lot of people on there who would meme and they'd put Trump's face on everything.
Yes.
So this is what it kind of reminds me of is like, they probably saw all that stuff and they were like, well, everyone else is putting my face on stuff. Why don't I put my face on stuff and I'll make money? That's probably what Trump was thinking.
I didn't look at this at all. Does this go to his campaign? Like, is it considered a donation to his campaign or is it just...
When
I saw these, that is exactly what I was reminded of when they would put Trump's face on, you know, like bodybuilder bodies. And
yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it goes to him or if it goes to his. I figured it would go to his campaign, but.
Well, I think it would have to say something on there. But probably. I didn't look. Like, is there a.
Or he's just making money off of it.
Which is fine. People are allowed to make money. Just
yeah,
not
Trump's allowed to make money.
I'm browsing. I don't see any like FEC number or anything like that.
Doesn't stand out. So probably not. Because he could get campaign money from like a lot of big donors. He doesn't really. That's why I thought this was weird if this was a campaign stunt. Because I didn't really. Well,
campaign stunt without it going to the campaign. I mean, we're talking about it.
We are talking about it. And Trump has been really quiet since his announcement. So he had his major announcement at Mar-a-Lago, and this. So these were his two big announcements so far.
So which one are you going to buy?
I'm leaning towards the cowboy. Not this one because it's just an abomination of what football. I mean, like, if you're a football fan, you know there's no such. This one's pretty cool, the Top Gun one.
Maybe you'll buy one and Yvonne will buy the other one for Christmas.
Maybe. Is it too late to put this on my Christmas list? The astronaut's pretty cool too.
But, you sound so serious. I almost believe you.
No, I'm not buying any of these for $99. And with that, I think we'll end the show on a lighter. What's that?
Sit without your sleeve. You're like.
With that, my eyes are enough looking at Trump on a bodybuilder or as a cowboy or stuff like that. On that, we'll end the show for tonight. I think we covered a lot tonight, that's for sure. From gas tax to Donald Trump as an astronaut and a cowboy. Any final thoughts for the show, Camille?
Not tonight.
Not tonight? Okay. For everyone who's listening, as I always say, before we end the show, make sure if you like this, the best way to support the show is to just let somebody else know, text them, message them, send them a Trump NFT with a note that says, go tune into California Underground. They sent me. And if you listen on audio, make sure you like, share, subscribe, review. If you're on YouTube, comment, helps the algorithm, all that stuff. And we'll see you after Christmas, I believe. We'll be back after Christmas. So have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody. And we'll see you on the next one. Later.
Bye.